Hey, everybody. We got a special episode for you today. We have our Odyssey Swim Run Austin race report for 2021. So let's get ready. We have the rock flute all polished up. Let's just get right into it. Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swim Run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 97. In this episode, we are sharing our race report for our last race of the year, closing out our swim run season for 2021, Odyssey Swim Run Austin. It was great.
Twas.
Show over. It was good.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
Yeah, I mean, this race was awesome. We really enjoyed it going back there. I think we're talking about this on the plane. This is really the first time that we've really been able to compare apples to apples because the course wasn't that different from last year. Mm-hmm. So it was really, I mean, we've obviously been working out a lot and training and spending a lot of time thinking and working on swim run stuff.
Consuming swim run materials.
Dispensing it and consuming it. And yeah, it was kind of cool to actually be able to do some comparisons, which we'll get to that later in the show. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so last you left us was our Orcas race report. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, that could have went better, I think, for us as a team, if we feel. And then about a week after that, we got news that Attila Catalina was moved or postponed back to March 2022. So that made Austin our last race of the year.
Yeah, initially it was going to be just like a tune-up, just like, let's go have some fun. We love that course. It's such a great course for beginners and people that are just want to sort of dip their toe in a swim run, but without, you know, taking on some of these harder courses. Yeah, so our plan was to just go there, have fun, and I don't really think that changed too much.
Well, except, we still had fun.
Yeah, except that I think going into it, we're like, all right, well, you know, we have this apples-to-apples comparison opportunity. We feel fit. We put in a good training plot going in. Our run was pretty dialed in. Mm-hmm. Still been doing a bunch of swimming. So let's just kind of see what happens.
Yeah. So let's get into the race report, similar to how we have broken it down before.
Yeah. So getting to Texas, we flew there.
We flew there in an airplane. That's how we got there.
On an aeroplane.
But we took it a little bit. I think if you listen to last year's race report, which Chris and I did to kind of prep for this race as well, like figure out, oh, where do we make mistakes? Where could we improve? Things like that. I think last year's trip was a whirlwind, in and out, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of situation. This one, we took an extra night for ourselves. We had the Concho boys who raced with us in the Orcas race. They also joined us in Texas. So we all rallied together Friday night and had an extra night at Highlands Camp Tex Lake.
I don't know.
It's some combination of those words, but that's where we were staying.
It's the place that has a cool ropes course.
Yes, and a really cool looking, like zip line situation going on.
Yeah, yeah. We got an email Friday night from Lars telling us that they were going to have some breakfast at Camp Tex Lake, which is where the race was starting and ending, and that, you know, Mark and Lois Fananga were going to be there cooking up breakfast. So we're like, yeah, we'll be there. So it was actually pretty cool to go down there with the Concho boys and just sort of mingle and get to really chat with Mark and Lois. It was really great getting to know them. And, you know,
Lars's parents.
Yeah, Lars's parents. Right?
And the voice of Swim Run.
The voice of Swim Run, Mark Fananga.
And the chef of Swim Run.
The chef of Swim Run, yeah.
Lois.
Yeah, we also learned a bunch of trivia about Lars, like how he got his name and stuff. It was crazy. If anyone wants to know that, just DM us. But yeah, it was a great start to the day on Saturday, which we hosted another shakeout swim run.
Yeah, we were just so like overwhelmed with how awesome though it went at the Orcas one with the Swim Run Labs and the Adorkables with the Fika after. But the Adorkables and the Swim Run Labs weren't here, so it's just on the Low Tide Boys to facilitate such an event, which, you know, I think we did a pretty good job for being a Low Tide Boys
exclusive
production. I mean,
I think we're pretty good about setting our own expectations super, super low. Yes. So they were exceeded. But yeah, you know, we put it out there, and honestly, we were there on Saturday. We were going to do the cliff jump anyway, just to mess around, have some fun, and check out that part of the course again. So we were like, hey, why don't we just put this out for people? And yeah, we had 35 plus people show up.
It was awesome. I mean, there was great comments and everything on the Facebook thread as well. Lars had some extra Odyssey, old Odyssey bibs, so we divvied those up, so we were all kind of wearing the same look. Mm-hmm. And we went for a you know, maybe a 45 even, minute yeah. little 30
it wasn't
to 40
even 3 miles
swim run.
Yeah.
But it was good, and I think you heard this on the Run for Tacos with Sterling and Lolo, as well as the Orcas episode as well, is that a lot we have been seeing a lot of first timers come out here, and it's a great way. And we picked a cliff jump with a kind of a tricky little exit, so people were familiarized with the kind of the most difficult or the most challenging or the most intimidating parts of the course. And we hopefully made that a less stressful experience.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so we started the cliff jump, which is sort of the beginning of swim five, and we ran back, you know, reversed the course essentially to swim four, kind of jumped in a little bit early so people could practice the exit of swim four, which is the most difficult exit, most technical, slippery.
Kind
there's
of
a
rock
lot of,
climbing.
Yeah.
Actually.
There's a lot of, you know, what Lars Fernanga would say requires a lot of teamwork. So we did that and then just kind of ran back to the cliff jump and just played around there. I jumped twice. I think you jumped twice
as
well.
I had a couple jumps as well.
It was super fun. It was nice. I think people really appreciated just getting a sense of what that was going to be like if they were going to do it on race day.
Yeah, and it was a cool thing. Like, there was also kids there. There was a couple, you know,
just playing,
eight to 12-year-old kids. They had wetsuits. They were doing cliff jumps. Everyone, it was very fun. Everyone was there like, oh, this is a fun thing to do. And people watching, hanging out in the water, shouting encouragement. It was just a cool way to spend the afternoon.
Totally. And, you know, it's the same thing that happened at Orcas. I feel like the shakeout, I could have done like 8 more hours of that. It was just so much fun just like hanging out, doing some swim running, doing some chatting, helping someone set up their pool buoy, doing some more swim running. It was just very, it was very fun.
Yeah. You know, as we, you know, get a million pool buoy questions and stuff, but it's still great. I still enjoy answering those every time they come through. I feel like we need to start bringing re-lasso supplies to redo your rig.
Yeah, we should have. Yeah, we're definitely making some.
So coming soon, low tide boys, pool buoy, mount servicing.
Yeah, unreserved comments. As to, we don't think that's going to work for you, buddy. So we also had some fika. It didn't live up to Team Adorkable's high standard.
Yeah, it wasn't that, but we did have some beignets.
Yeah.
Some croissant.
Chipper waited in line for about like 30 minutes to get this stuff.
Yeah. And I thought, you know what? We need to celebrate the Swedish sport of swim run. Some French pastry.
Yeah.
As usual, we try to capture everyone that we interacted with at this weekend in Austin, Texas. We can't guarantee that we got everybody, but we tried our damnedest.
Yeah, we even had the Contra boys trying to help us.
We had them working for us.
Yeah, because, you know, we really appreciate just everyone coming up to us and introducing themselves and, you know, and telling us that, you know, they listen to our show. And then after the race, I definitely appreciate it after the race. And we're like, we listened to the show and it totally worked. And we're like, oh thank God.
Sure, yeah.
Oh,
like, I took your advice and I did horrible.
Yeah, that's what we always expect. That's what we always expect. When people are like, oh, it was helpful. We had a great race. Even like the overall female winners are like, we listened to the shows again. Anyway, it was great. So in no particular order, definitely not in chronological order.
No, or numerical for that matter. There's literally no order. Stank, we have a couple people who were staying in the Tex camp compound with us.
Yeah,
there
whatever
was 20,
it was called.
20 rooms or something there. Some with scorpions and some without. But Jeff Emanuel from Boston.
Yeah, Orla from Colorado.
Sarah, of course, fellow Nevadan.
Yeah. Emma Hollis.
Marie and Katie, Team Twisted Sister. And we did, in fact, verify that they are not going to take it anymore.
They definitely weren't taking it. Scott Surmeyer, who interacted with him on the Strava Club, so it was great to meet him in person.
And I think I might have seen Scott running near the end, and I might have yelled a different name at you. So sorry about that, Scott. Yeah. But I thought it was you. And if, anyway, Nicole and Bree.
Yana, who's you know, just happens to be the Ironman AG world champion.
NBD. No big deal.
No big deal.
On that. AG is age group as well.
Yeah.
Why we're dispelling, we're busting, busting abbreviations up. Andrea?
Eric Braun, also in our Strava club.
And a funny little quinkadink here. Our rental car was from Missouri.
Yeah.
I thought that Nissan Altima from Missouri is what I was calling our car. And then just two doors down from us was Joe from Missouri.
Yeah.
He did the solo long course with his wife, wife Meg.
First swim run. He's another one who we're sort of dispelling, you know, just
we had a little knowledge session. Yeah. Jeff came over and Joe came over, and then we had the Concho boys there and some more people, and we were showing off all of our different pool buoys, and we were comparing the arc. We had the whole lineup from the arc keel S all the way to the plus.
We had people flicking the lights because they wanted us to shut up.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're trying to sleep. There's a race tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very important race.
We were like, it's 8:30.
We're on California time, so it's 6:30.
Blake and Diane from Connecticut.
Adrian and Jolene. So they were the second place short course mixed team. So congrats to you two.
Larry Dubois and his brother.
And Lisa Decker, the only swim runner from Kansas.
Yes, and Lisa.
And this is so great to see Lisa finally.
Yeah, like she's been a big supporter of the show from back in the day. And in her car, she did have a Super Stoked on Swim Run sticker.
I couldn't believe it. We parked and we got out and I looked over and there is a sticker that we made.
Yeah.
Sitting on someone's car on their window.
Yep.
It's still an interesting thing for me to process every time something like that happens.
Definitely, definitely. Alyssa, who we spoke to afterwards, she's going to make a guest appearance on a future Gear Talk show. She won the long course team division.
Yeah,
on her first swim run.
Way to be, Alyssa. Way to be. And Sydney?
Josh Arden, who got solo long course second place. We happened to meet at a vegan
food truck.
Garden thing.
Food truck garden thing. I will say those milkshakes might have been the culinary treat of the weekend.
Were they even vegan? Because they're so good.
They were very good. And then we didn't see Lindsay in person, but she did slide right into our DM, said she saw us at some point, but she was hustling to a flight to catch. But she has confirmed she tested positive for catching the swim run bug.
Yeah.
So that's great. Mission accomplished for us.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lindsay, for saying hi. Now on to race morning.
Let's talk about race day. So it was super cold and foggy in the morning. I mean, on Saturday morning, it was pretty cold and foggy and actually kind of spooky when we looked outside.
It was. And I think we kind of adjusted a little bit of our race morning strategy a little bit. We had talked about it that we were still going to opt for the VIG wetsuits for all you gear people here. This is your tune in right now. We're still going to go with the VIG
and or drink.
And so because the water temperature was still in the upper 60s, low 70s, so me and you were prepared to suffer for the first run two and maybe run three coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it could be in the 40s, but we knew near the end of the race or maybe for that longer cutting back across Pace Park, it was going to warm up.
I mean, if Saturday was any indication, by 11 o'clock, it was pretty toasty when we were doing our shakeout. And I think the way we thought about it is like, yeah, run one will be fine. It's really coming out of swim one.
Into run two,
where it's like, all right, now your hands are cold. Now you're all wet. Now you got to deal with cold air.
Yes.
It turns out that we weren't the only people thinking that. In fact, Odyssey ended up delaying the race initially to, I think they delayed
30 minutes to 7:30.
And then they delayed it to 7:45.
Long course only.
Yeah. Short course started on time, which actually we can talk about that later, but I actually think having them start very close was pretty cool. We got two warm-up runs in. We were like, yeah, we're going to be super pro about this, do like a shakeout run, get warmed up before the race start. And as we started our first one, we heard over the loudspeaker that the start has been delayed. So we just went back inside.
I heard that from the Voice of Swim Run.
From the Voice of Swim Run. And then we heard they were going to push it back to 7:45 as the start time. And we heard it was, some of it had to do with fog, but also they're waiting for some park rangers to open some gates so they could get the aid station set up, which hey, you know what? That's a super important part of this. People have to have aid. So I'm glad that they did that. But yeah, I mean, I was pretty stoked. I don't think I was as nervous as I was for orcas, where yeah. I was just like, all right, we've done all this training. Like, here's an opportunity to kind
orcas
of
orcas felt really pent up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the energy and the nervousness was like building and we were like popped.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. And it was different. It was different than Casco, where Casco was just like, hey, big day coming and we've been training all year for this.
Let's
and orcas was like, this isn't easy.
Yeah.
This one was more like, hey, we've done this before. We feel pretty fit. We definitely don't want to repeat the mistakes that we made at orcas. Speaking for myself, I thought that I made it a point to myself that I wanted to be more communicative and just check in more and just like, not just assume that you can read my thoughts. I mean, should we just do a leg by leg breakdown on the whole
thing? Yeah, let's do it. Start out leg one on that run. We knew we had a longer 2-ish miles run and we knew, as with every race, people are going to shoot off the front like a bat out of hell just because that's what, you know, and Texas, people got the cowboy blood in them. They're just yeehawing right out of the gate like a bull. And so we tasked Chris with keeping under a certain time,
yes,
a certain pace. And I think we did a great job. I didn't feel an immediate really spike in the heart rate. I mean, we were going at a good clip.
Yeah. I mean,
but it
I
wasn't
quote,
like,
I quote, this is Chipper's quote. It's like, if you go under 7 minutes, I'm going to trip you.
I just wanted to make sure that we were going to make it.
Well, here's what we did. Those first 2 miles was essentially like 7:10, 7:15 pace. So
just perfect.
Yeah. So
perfect.
I was definitely dialing that in. Yeah. I felt good. I feel like a theme you're going to hear throughout this whole recap is like, we were racing, but we were never sort of redlining necessarily. Like, we just kind of kept it and we're moving quickly, but we were not trying to, you know, not trying to break
blow,
any land speed records or
blow
anything.
Blow anybody up. Yeah.
Yeah, that first run was cool. Definitely warmed us up. I think I ran with a swim cap. I don't know if you did.
I did put it on a few minutes before the race.
It did spread up really quickly, and we found ourselves, like, even before we got into swim run.
Swim one.
Numero uno. Once we got, like, by the time we got to that swim, was already pretty separated. Like, we didn't have a lot of people around us.
It was lonely for us.
I mean, there was a front pack, which was a two, you know, D1 swimmers that were doing solo course, Adrian and Josh. And there was a men's team, Justin. I'm forgetting his partner's name.
Eggplant Emoji was their team name.
Eggplant Emoji, who were, you know, young, super fit, really fast. Mm-hmm. So we were like, hey, it's probably a good thing they're taking off and we're not trying
to
keep up with them.
Leave it to
the youth
stuff.
For sure. But yeah, I felt like that first run actually really set the pace for the whole day.
I think it was good because it could have turned out much worse. If you would have shot out, if we wouldn't have talked about it and communicated about everything and you would have shot out or we would have got caught up and we're doing 6:30s, then we get into a situation kind of like what happened at orcas, is that we're spiking higher and quicker than we thought and kind of stuff. But yeah, you played it very well. It wasn't conservative, but we just played it to the plan.
I would say it was up tempo, but it wasn't like,
yeah, I mean, it was
like,
it was we weren't
trying to catch up or keep up with anybody. We were
to do
our
agreed
thing.
Before we even started, we said, we're going to let them go because we're not racing these people. We are racing the low tide boys of 2020.
Right. Exactly. Again. Yeah. This is a apples to apples comparison. And we knew Adrian Cameron, who's a friend of ours. He ended up winning the long course solo. He practices there.
Yeah,
so
he goes
he knows,
out and trains
he knows
there.
Every
he lives
step
in
to take. And we weren't trying to keep up with him.
And so swim one, I took that one, and remembering from the course previews and the race last year, all the swims are very negotiable. They're right up against the coastline, if you will, or the cliffs or whatever. And you just keep the tightest line you can. And that was pretty much my goal for every swim, was put good pace out and keep it as tight as you can. Now, there was a couple times, there's a lot of, not a lot.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in swim too, because that's when I thought like the underwater chupacabra was going to get me. But yeah, swim run was fun. Why keep saying that? Swim
Let's
one.
Let's just move to swim two and it won't be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Swim one was fine. I think the distances, we weren't thinking, oh, they're long or short. We were just kind of thinking they're just going to be what they are this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that swim was fine. The water is actually very nice.
Yeah.
It was actually a little warming to go in there from the cold air.
There was
the
lots
air.
Of steam coming off, and I got in first. I was ready to go. And I get in, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, Chris.
Are you ready?
Let me know when you're ready.
It's
and
like, I'm ready.
And I dive in, and I start going, and I feel my crotch sink down, and I'm like, shit, my buoy's buoy's mounted on the back still. And Chris is like, let me know when you're ready. I'm like, okay, fair enough. I deserve that.
Yeah, that was you're like, oh, pull buoy.
I'm a pull buoy.
Let me know when
I was probably five strokes out already, you know. But that ended up actually being one of our fastest swims of the day, I think.
Yeah, it was also a good. I always feel like once we get the first swim out of the way, it's kind of like, all right, now we're officially swim running.
Now we're wet, and we're ready to go. And yeah, run two.
It's pretty short, 1.28 miles or whatever. Straightforward, a little bit of bushwhacking, just following the flags.
The best we could.
Yeah, and that went by where we were staying and the ropes course and stuff, which is cool to see. And then that got into swim two, which was sort of our first longish swim of the day.
Yeah, we went around a little cove there, right into run three.
But in swim two, there was a part, again, Chipper mentioned he was taking these really aggressive shoreline. So sometimes we were dodging underwater trees and stuff.
Yeah, so that was a thing. They had all these branches or trees that had been there. And I'd be swimming and I would look up and I'm like, uh-oh, there's a bout. So I felt like I was kind of like,
I felt like a
Florida gator. Like what Sterling from the Run for Tacos swam in with. But kind of navigating these sticks and branches sticking out.
So there was one part.
Did I catch you with anything?
Oh, I think you hit it a little close, and I got into this. I don't even know what it was. It was like a fell. It was like a felled pine tree or something. That all these
I thought it was seaweed.
I don't think there's seaweed
in the
rivers.
Colorado River. I don't think so either.
But yeah. So it kind of like the tether got kind of swept up into it, and it was pulling me down.
It was pulling it down.
It was pulling me down,
and I was going, and I'm like, there's something on the tether, and you're like,
yeah,
hold on.
And I'm just trying to power through, and at some point you just stop because you're like, what's going on? And I'm finally like, so I just sit up and I'm just pulling all sorts of stuff off. And that was really the only time we ever had to stop in a swim, I think.
Yeah, the pace on that one was not too shabby, but that brings us right up and over to heading across Pacebin Park for about a 2.5 mile run.
Yep.
There, which this had a little bit of a course change to it. So I think the course overall maybe was like half a mile to maybe a mile longer on the running. And this is a part I think where they may have added a half mile or so or something like that.
Yeah.
So we had it marked on our paddles that, you know, yes, the posted distance is this, but we know it's going to be long. Aaron and the Odyssey team kind of shared out the new map.
Yeah, it was a Google map. So we just compared them kind of side by side to kind of see what was going on. That run was fine. I think at that point is when I started sort of leading runs, essentially.
Yes.
I felt like we were moving really, really well. We were communicating well. I kept checking in as like, oh, how does this pace feel? We made sure we ate at the aid station sort of at the beginning of that run. And our aid station strategy was just drink and take nutrition, whole gel, half gel, whatever. I will say for this year, there were a lot of kind of little bonus aid stations where there would just be like a water cooler and a little bucket of gels and stuff.
Yeah,
and
there was no one watching it, but it was there, which I thought was cool because if it did get hot or you were in a bad way, I mean, that would save your ass. And for some Odyssey volunteer to just go and drop that and then pick it up 6 hours later.
They're right off
the
roads. Yeah, it was. I thought that was really great. Just to, you know, you can never have too many opportunities for people to get hydration and nutrition or they feel like they need it, especially because you're not necessarily carrying it on board. That run I thought was really great. We're moving well. And that led into sort of the second super long swim of the day, which was almost 1,200 yards, where you kind of get into the steep end of a boat ramp. And I led that swim. I think I did about half of it before sort of turning it over to you to bring us in. And I will say for the swims, I mean, you did most of the swim work.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about how we were going to divvy that up per se, I guess we have accepted our unspoken roles as head chief of running and I'm chief of swimming, I guess.
Yeah, and it was like, well, let's see how everyone feels. I definitely felt like I could have led more swims if needed, but if you're feeling good, you're a stronger swimmer, so it's like why am I
Yeah, it's like if I had the pace to do it, I should be doing it. So that one was good. Yeah, that was definitely one of the longer ones.
Isn't too much to report because none of the swims are really. I mean, this one was cool because you're basically facing limestone cliffs on your left hand side of those little caves and stuff. And
yeah,
so it's picturesque, but in terms of level of difficulty, it's just in terms of distance, nothing else.
Yeah, so this is where run four, we came out into run four here on this one, and this is where we knew we were going to have, I think somewhere, it must have been on run three, at that aid station, the guy that was running it, he was like, you're in second place.
Yeah.
That's what he said to us.
Yeah, that was at the beginning of run three. And I was
at the aid station.
I was like, I pretty much just kind of ignored that because I didn't know what that meant.
And we don't really know how to race in the front of races. It's not something that we are normally accustomed to. And two, it's like, it didn't matter if we were in last or whatever. We weren't letting that affect our race.
We were just trying to keep it within ourselves, like up tempo for sure, but not like not thinking it's like, oh, we got to make up like a 10-minute gap or all we knew is that there really weren't anybody around us. Like once we finished like swim three, I mean, we're kind of running by ourselves.
We were by ourselves
pretty
much.
Time.
And we knew we were somewhere near the front because we saw the only first group ahead of us.
No one was passing us.
No one was passing us that we saw. Coming out on run four, that was one area. I know I felt you were pressing a little bit harder on the run, which was totally fine. And we knew that on this little out and back section, we had an opportunity to get a gauge for if we were, for what place we were in or what was happening there. And we saw Adrian and Josh charging through.
So we knew So I think the plan was is like, well, let's just at least get to this out and back so we can kind of get some sense
we'll
of what's going on.
And then we'll reassess from there.
And we were feeling good. And, you know, at that point, like I didn't feel like we were even really laboring. I mean, we're taking nutrition and we're working hard, but, you know, was it zone three? Maybe. Was it zone four? Definitely not. Was it maybe zone 2.8? Most likely.
I feel like we were zone three. So I think that was like, all of our runs were mostly at tempo, felt like, from what we were doing in practice.
Gotcha. Yeah, so we got to that turnaround, and we saw Adrian and Josh, mm-hmm. and then we saw Justin, and I'm forgetting his partner, whatever, team, Eggplant Emoji, and we're like, okay, and we saw the woman who was leading the long course women. She looked super strong,
yeah,
really tall.
Yeah, she was charging after those guys.
Yeah, she was racing for sure.
I wouldn't want her chasing me down. That's true.
Yeah, so we saw them on the out and back, and you know, we just kind of started doing some like mental math, and we sort of figured that they were about 6 minutes ahead of us.
Yeah, at least.
And at that point, we're like, yeah, we think we're pretty much in second place because we didn't see anyone else, and it wasn't until we did our turnaround that we started seeing other teams going down. It was a couple mixed teams,
couple solo.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like, all right, I think we're in second place. And it seems like we've pretty much have consolidated that already because we're just, you know, not racing with anyone. But I think we kept sort of the effort.
Yeah, the foot was on the gas for sure. And I think once we sort of decided that 6 minutes was too much or whatever time it was, we had sort of decided like this is too much of a gap for us to try to close. In 3 run legs and 2 longer swim legs. If they're already running faster than us or already swimming faster than us, it's going to be really hard to get that time
back. You know, and I honestly think that was one of the highlight of our communication as a team in any event where we were just like, hey, let's just make some real practical decisions about what's happening here. We're having a great race. Mm-hmm. We're in a position that we're not used to being in. In a swim run, like, it's not like we went into this year thinking we're going to be podiuming anything. you know, and we're just racing who showed up essentially. And yeah, and we're having a good day.
We're having a good day.
So I think we were both like, all right, you know, we've sort of consolidated second place. Let's just keep moving. Let's just keep doing our thing and just kind of block out all this stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't say it felt like we took a gear off or anything like that. We still kept pressing with what we had. So off that 3.3 mile run four, that led into the swim four, which is a little 536 swim, which probably ended up being swim four?
Also known as Chris's swim.
Chris's swim.
2 years in a row, I made this swim my baby. This is my swim.
And this actually is the swim that we did the day before at the shakeout. So it was a nice little, you kind of peek around and you get that cove and you kind of
I actually thought it was right really across. Helpful because when we were doing it at the exit, like I knew exactly where to go and we just kind of went right up. Yeah. That was good. Yeah, that swim again, it wasn't anything technical about it. Some cool volunteers hanging out, offering to help people get up.
That was great.
We saw Mark, our personal photographer. Just kidding.
He's and recent last guest on the guest right before this. We're like, hi, Mark.
It's like, how you doing, buddy?
It's like, hey, guys.
Nice of him to take a bunch of photos.
Good form. Good form.
That led into run five, which again, you know, was half a mile. That led to the cliff jump. At that point, we were deciding whether we were going to do the cliff jump
during run five.
During run five, we're like, well, should we do it or not? It's like, well, we did it a bunch yesterday, and frankly, if we're really thinking we're going to consolidate second place, we should just race for that.
Yeah.
And not let anyone catch us. Again, not really thinking that, like, feeling sort of that we need to hunt people down or anything like that. It was just like, hey, we're moving well. Let's just keep moving well. Let's just make this as expedient as possible. So we skipped the cliff jump again, but
yeah. But we got a couple on film earlier, and all I could think about the cliff jump was like, oh my gosh, if we did this and then we somehow had to like charge back to get what, like we gave up a place and then we're like redlining for the rest. I'm like, oh my God, let's just run and just jump right in. So, but the entrance into that swim
super slippery.
Five was super slippery.
That was like a tailbone breaker.
It was, yeah. I'm surprised that I didn't go down, but I stepped on it and without moving, I just started sliding forward. I'm like, be ready to go when you step on this rock.
Yeah, that was another very quotable Chipper moment. I think the quote was, hey, when you step on this thing, you got to be ready to go. I'm like, noted. Pull buoy in.
Yeah, be ready.
and that swim, that swim was when we started hitting sort of the tail end of
the short course.
Short course people, which again, you know, the short course ended up being only 15 minutes instead of an hour after the long course folks. And I actually think that worked out well because one of the things that we were worried about was having to pass a bunch of people on that long single track, the basically run six.
Super windy.
I mean, when we did that last year, it was a lot of like on your left type situation. Yeah. And this time, because they started like just a lot, like the meat of the short course field.
The majority of the field was out already of that been gone area. Yeah.
So for us, it was maybe if you were, you know, Adrian and the folks at front, maybe they're hitting more of that sort of log jam. But for us, it was still pretty smooth. We saw a bunch of folks, but we were saying hi and chatting with them and just, you know, everyone was super great. We got a couple shout outs on that part, which was really cool. So run six, also very notably, I didn't miss the turn this time.
Yes, I mean that was we had a couple like weekend long standing jokes. One, hey Chip, are you drinking water or you got your precision hydration? And then two, anytime we would drive into the thing, I'm like, Chris, this is where we turn left. So there was just a couple things that we weren't gonna forget. It was great. And I will say the course was impeccably marked.
Oh yeah,
there was not one issue. I think maybe there was one time we even said, "Oh, when's the last time you saw?" And it's like, "Oh, there's a flag," before you finish the sentence, kind of thing. And that led us when we were approaching swim six, we went down right by kind of where the finish line is, and you come down, and there was another aid station.
Sort
and we
of
said,
the last
hey,
aid station.
Let's just pop a gel in for good measure. Let's hit some precision hydration because we know we got one swim and one run left. Let's get her done. And when we approached there, the lady said, the first place team is 3 minutes ahead of you. So that was interesting. But unfortunately, Chris and I aren't D1 swimmers, so we can't call upon some greater swimming ability to motor us.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, so we found out after the race that that team was kind of hurting on that run before that swim. So maybe we would have had that intel. Maybe we could have pressed and cut that down to 2 minutes or 1 minute. But again, that wasn't what we were thinking.
That wasn't our goal.
Yeah, it was like, it's like, hey, look at us. We've somehow find ourselves in this position. Let's just like not screw this up. You know, let's not try to reach higher than where we are. So that last swim was definitely the longest swim of the day.
Yeah.
Last year was short by a lot. This year, I don't think it was short.
They did something to make it longer.
Like they took you down like one more cove or something.
I think they did an extra cove because I was cutting this one pretty tight too, so tight that I actually ran into a rock. And I like stopped and Chris was like, what? I'm like, I hit a rock. And I had to like go around.
I'm like, you okay? Yeah. Like rock.
And then, so we got out there and again, I do like the last runs. I appreciate it not being some crazy sprint finish situation. We kind of, I wouldn't say we were looking over our shoulder for the whole thing, but definitely on that one, I'm like,
I definitely peeked back once, but it was
I want to take a look to make sure I'm not going to have to go zone five for a mile and a half here to try to fend off some other team who wants to nip the low tide boys in the last on the last run leg. But yeah, we had a nice, I would say the last run, we got it. I feel like we enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was very celebratory. It was like, I mean, it was a culmination of a lot of things. It was obviously the end of our race season because with Catalina being postponed, it was, I think, exercising some demons from orcas, at least speaking for myself. And it was like, yeah, I mean, it's such a fun course. So it was great to be like, hey, man, we did it again. And it was super fun, you know? So it was just a lot of emotions going on. And we crossed the line, second place overall long course team and second place men's team. There was 84 teams registered. I don't know how many sort of DNS'd or DNF'd. Our finishing time was 2 hours, 56 minutes and 43 seconds, which, you know, I think one thing for me that was sort of weird crossing the finish line was not having the Boston Red Sox, the Zaddies, or the Monks kind of waiting for us to say hi. You know, so there was definitely, I wouldn't say that a lot of the usual heavy hitters were there. So I think a better measure chipper of like our performance as a team was comparing it to last year, which we can actually do that. So
yeah.
So I think that helps sort of calibrate the results of sort of like our development as a team. Last year's race, we finished it in 3 hours, 30 minutes and 16 seconds. So this year's time was 33 minutes and 33 seconds faster. I think another comparison was our overall pace. For this year, our overall pace, swimming and running all combined was 10 minutes and 38 seconds per mile. Which that's a pretty good measure. Usually, if you're like 10 minutes or under, you're the Boston Red Sox, basically. And last year, our overall pace was 12 minutes and 21 seconds. So this year, we were basically a minute and 43 seconds per mile faster.
Yeah, and so the way that Chris and I do our Garmin watches, we both have the Fenix 5. Chris runs it just on run mode or swim mode? Run mode, and it's just going the whole time. And I have it in swim run mode, so I'm able to do the lap. So I know swim this and that. So I actually have leg by leg comparison for the run. And there's a couple that I just wanted to point out that kind of showcases this. And I think this is the thing that I took away from last year's race report was we felt that that was our best, fastest performance to date as a swim run team. We felt really proud and I'm still proud of how we did. But at the end of that, we're like, okay, we figure like we got the swim run technique down, the transitions, and we feel like we're getting a little bit more sophisticated with the strategy and things like that. And I specifically even remember saying, all we have to do is just swim faster and run faster. And literally a year later, that's exactly what we did. After that, in 2020 in Austin, Chris was on the Tower 26 swim program. I shortly joined maybe like a month or two after. And then we did that for a couple months, and then we got a coach. And, I mean, we've been putting a lot of fucking work in running and swimming and on the bike and other stuff to get these gains.
Totally.
So on the long run, on the 3 mile, 3.3 mile run in 2020, we did that run in 32 minutes and 13 seconds, which is a 10 minute, 23 second per mile pace. This year, we did it in 26 minutes, 36 seconds, which is an 8 minute, 39 second pace. So we dropped 52 seconds per minute, per mile off that. That's,
I will say,
I'm pretty proud of that.
I mean, again, this isn't some sort of crazy humble brag. We've been doing a lot of training, right? But it's like, I didn't feel like we were redlining at any point. I would say, I'm super happy. I don't think any of us predicted we were going to podium. I think we went there to try to have a good race. To come out second, I think it was a big surprise for us. And we were obviously super stoked when we crossed the finish line. I think last year we actually gave each other a pool buoy rating for how we thought the race went. And I don't know if you remember, Chipper, you gave this race performance last year a 4.5 pool buoys. So, I think you started off a little hot on that one.
I'll give this one a 4.5 as well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think last year, I remember being like, I feel like we kind of have cracked the swim run code part and the running fast, which was unknown for me. The swimming faster and the running faster, I kind of know how to do that. You just do more. You get someone that knows what they're doing, which is we got a coach that they know what they're doing, and that's how you get faster at those two things. The swim run, the technique, that was like work, unknown stuff to me, and I felt like we really clicked last year at this race, and I think that's why I probably assessed it such a...
For sure, and that's when we kept the tether on for the whole time.
Yeah, that was the first,
I did something new on race day. I use clear goggles because whenever the Dirksen speak, I try to listen. So Greg, you if you're listening, I got clear goggles because you said I should. So I did.
And I actually checked because of the goggle suggestion. I couldn't tell you what tint or shade my goggles were. They are blue, but they are mirrored. I got to look cool.
Yeah,
for Mark taking photos.
You definitely look cool. So post race, we're hanging out at the finish line, saying hi to folks. Our friends, the Concho Boys, John and Addison, they came in about 30 minutes behind us, but that was good enough for third place.
We were
in
so
their
stoked.
Second swim run.
That was awesome.
Third place men's team. So super stoked for them. I think they signed up. They were going to do Catalina. And with that getting canceled, it wasn't much of a arm twisting activity to convince them to come down to Austin.
Yeah, they were pretty still riding high from Odyssey Orcas, how can you not be?
Yeah, overall impressions, I still think this is an amazing race. I still think this is a great race for beginners or people who want to dip their toe in swim run. I mean, it's not that it's easy, because anytime you have, 4K of swimming, there's just nothing easy about that. But I think in terms of the stuff that could scare you, like crossing like the Portland Sound
or ocean swims
or sharks climbing, or anything 2,000 feet, in a wetsuit. I think those things are sort of mitigated by this course, and it's still as hard as you can make it. Yeah, for sure. And everyone we spoke to was super stoked, and whether you're short course, long course, solo, team, whatever, it seemed like everyone had a great time. I didn't get any bad vibes from anybody.
I mean, it was just a good time, and they changed the finish line venue to be in the little sort of community dining hall thing that they have, and Lars's mom, Lois, is cooking enough for an army. Pulled pork sandwiches there for the vegans and vegetarians. There was a mountain
there
of
options.
There was options. Yeah, there was options that wasn't like, you can eat a salad. Like veggie wraps with hummus and fresh veggies in there. Coolers full of Cokes and waters. The Athletic Brewing was there. I mean, it was just a good time, and it felt more like the community. The whole weekend was just community, and that's the thing that we keep coming back to, is how awesome it is.
Yeah, and you could feel it grow. I feel like this race, again, because some of the usual players that we've been used to seeing at every race we've done, like whether it's the Adorkables or the Zaddies or the, you know, the Monks or whoever, California Swim Run, you know, a lot of them weren't there, but it was still the same. It was still the same vibe. It was just, we just made new friends instead of, you know, kind of catching up with old friends. And it was, I mean, it's just great. It's just great. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that we really need to thank, I think, for us having a successful season and for, you know, all the progress we've made. Obviously, have to thank our wives and to a lesser extent our kids for supporting us.
I will thank the kids for taking it easy on mom.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hope they like the armadillo.
Yeah.
Brought out some armadillo stuffies back. But yeah, obviously the wives, I mean, you know, yeah, we're getting up butt ass early every when we can to try to, like, you know, we try to inflict enough suffering on ourselves.
It's a lot of martyrdom to make it happen.
Yeah, to like do the early morning workouts. But, you know, the wives are always there when we're blasted and tired after a big thing and we can't pick it up. They're always there supporting. So obviously can't do it without them. Obviously huge thanks to our coach this year who really, I mean, I haven't been in this good a shape in,
We've been ready for every race. And I think that's definitely a testament to good coaching. They prefer to remain nameless, so we won't name them, but, you know, thank you from the bottom of our heart. Annie and Brooke from the Swim Run Labs. I mean, they're our friends. They're at this point, they're like our Swim Run soulmates.
They are.
And, you know, their support and encouragement has been really helpful. You know, they're the first people that we texted when we told them that they'll be podiumed after our wives. Obviously Odyssey Swim Run for their support all year, hosting amazing events, but also being really supportive of us and what we're trying to do. It just goes a long way to helping us achieve what we want to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like partnering with them this year was really cool and it just made so much sense.
Totally.
You know, we really hope to continue that in the future. Also need to give a huge shout out to Frederic of Frank Paddle. He was generous enough to supply Chris and I with Frank Paddles for the season's racing, which was so cool of him. Definitely did not need to do that. But I will admit that I did lose one of my Frank Paddles on one of my cliff jumps. Luckily, they float.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like, where is it? And people are like, it's behind you. I'm like, it's okay. It's just a $100 carbon fiber paddle.
You know what's funny about that? Like, you were just holding them like they were a little football when you jumped. And I was like,
what's he
really
doing?
Are you really holding them like that? Just like if you're just running with them or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
So you jumped in, you start looking around. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. And then someone's like, it's right there. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm glad it was floating. But again, Frederic, thanks for that. And that rolls into the rest of the gear. So Helen, Christopher, Dennis, Daniel at the ARC.
Yeah, ARC is awesome. Obviously. They've been the first brand that ever, you know, even gave us the time of day. So, you know, we love wearing their stuff and it definitely
worked.
We're
rocking the Vigs with the kangaroo tops.
Kangaroo top Sunday and Keel Pluses.
Keel Plus.
And yeah, it was great. It was great. Obviously, we also have to shank. You have to shank.
We're not shanking anybody.
Are we
making shanks after this?
Carbon fiber ones?
Yeah.
We have to thank all of our show guests because, I mean, we've gained so much wisdom from them.
Yes.
It's almost like a hack, right? Where we can just ask people who have all this experience, all these questions, and then, we just like absorbed that energy. And I think finally, we definitely need to thank all our listeners for their questions, their encouragement. It really fuels us when we hear that they listen to their show. And as we mentioned before, that they felt ready for race day and had a positive experience. For us, that's like totally validates, you know, all the time that we kind of put into this labor of love.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm still, and Chris and I talk about this constantly. We're closing out our second year of this podcast.
Yeah.
And whenever people come up to us and say that they listen or they hear every episode or they recognize, it's still such a foreign situation for me to like wrap my head around. It's super humbling. And then we have to obviously thank all of our Patreon supporters this year.
Definitely.
We have some really solid folks on there that are helping us keep the lights on. you know, helped pay for like website hosting and podcast hosting and mm-hmm. our sticker addiction and all sorts of stuff. So we couldn't do it without you. So thanks for that and supporting us for a month or two, 18 two months, years. 2 years yeah. on Patreon. So that's yeah. just so awesome. We're going to
and a little spoiler
step,
alert.
Step our game up next year on the Patreon.
Spoiler alert. Everyone who's a Patreon is getting a special holiday gift from the Low Tide Boys. So stay tuned for
I'm
that.
I'm signing up right now.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Okay.
Maybe you should.
I will.
But yeah, I mean, again, it was actually kind of funny because when we met Orla, she was basically staying a couple doors down from us. And this is just a great example of the Sorbonne community. She's apparently addicted to coffee, as is a lot of
Same.
People. So she basically went to Target and bought a coffee maker and was making coffee for everyone on race morning who felt like they needed it to live.
Warm coffee.
Warm coffee.
Was her,
good.
Was her specific.
Good warm coffee. So, but when we met her, she was going to the shakeout. So we were like, hey, just jump into our car with us. And she got to see a little bit of sort of the behind the scenes of people coming up to us and thanking us. And we're just like, oh, geez, like, gee whiz. Yeah, it was great to chat with her. And I think, you know, she, anyway, it was just really funny. Like, usually we're sort of in our own cocoon of embarrassment when people
yes.
thank us and acknowledge us. And now we had people who
we
were just kind of like watching
that.
It. Same thing with the Concho Boys. I think, you know, they're just kind of rolling their eyes at us and letting us have sort of our Low Tide Boys time. But yeah, but it was really great. We love this race. We love Odyssey. I think final thoughts on the race. I think we had our best race to date. Close second, I would put Casco. I think coming in 10th place men's team at Casco in a really competitive field, I think that was definitely like a solid performance for us. Podiuming here was amazing. Orcas, hey, fourth place on an incredibly challenging day where you were like in the well for 4+ hours and still made it out the other side. I mean, I think every performance this year.
Notable,
you know, a feather in her cap, an arrow in her quiver. And I mean, if possible, I would love to keep coming back to do Austin because it's so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So where will you find the Low Tide Boys in 2022?
Dun, 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 dun. It's a good question.
Is that a cliffhanger? Do we
Is it a
do
cliffhanger?
We tell people?
Well, I think
we're doing Catalina.
We know two things. We know we're doing Catalina and we know that we want to do Lake James. So those are two that are set up. I mean, we can talk about it in our, we talk
fireside
about it next
chat.
Month in the fire in our fireside chat about what our hopes and dreams are for 2022. We can say now we'd like to qualify for the world championship under ranking points. We don't know if we're going to have enough. If
we're going to apply though.
We're going to apply. If we do, fantastic. If we don't, hey, we'll just keep plugging away at
we'll,
it. So
we'll start racking points again.
Yeah, that's it. But it was a great season, Chipper. Always a pleasure to share the field of battle, and you know I can't.
Oh,
think
we still
of
did our fly out after the race deal.
What?
We jetted off to fly home.
That
we
was
got home at like midnight. Maybe we need to rethink that one because I'm dragging tonight.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. But yeah, we had vegan food.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, I loved it.
I'm glad.
Okay. You like the milkshake?
The milkshake was good. I think there
brought
was,
all the boys
I think
to the
there
yard.
Was milk in it, though. I think
Damn
it,
right.
I don't think
it's
it was vegan.
Yours. That would be quite the smoke and mirror situation. Fronting as a vegan milkshake.
Some weird saboteur.
Saboteur? Probably the same one at Orcas.
Saboteur, yeah. Yeah, so that's our race. We loved it. We had a great time. We had a great result. We're super happy and proud of it. Mm-hmm. We're so glad we got to meet so many new people, got to see so many old friends, and just continue on our swim run journey. That was great.
Peace and love.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music. And of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.